Well, good morning. Time for another Spotlight here on Red River Radio. I'm Kermit Poling, and joining me in the studio is Christopher Lynch, who is the assistant organist at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Shreveport, and also, as it turns out, a former member of the American Boy Choir. The American Boy Choir will be coming to Shreveport, and Chris, I'm going to let you just talk about their visit here.
Sure. On April 19th, the American Boy Choir will be at St. Mark's Cathedral singing for the 10:30 a.m. Eucharist and joining the combined cathedral choirs for a special 6 p.m. evensong. And the American Boy Choir is one of the finest choirs of their type in the world, with boys in grades 5th through 8th. And they'll be doing a whole tour of the South in Texas and Arkansas and Louisiana and elsewhere. They'll be singing spirituals. They'll be singing Renaissance motets. They'll be singing English Romantic music. Their repertoire spans the centuries. So we're very excited about their visit.
And before we talk with the conductor of the boy choir and one of the, I say students performers, because I know it's also a school as well as a choir, let's talk a little bit about your experience as being part of that choir and how you became a member. And were you a daytimer, or were you a full, or did you go to the school full time?
I was a full boarder. From Mooresville, North Carolina, right near Charlotte. And the choir came to sing in Charlotte when I was in the sixth grade. And after every concert, they have open auditions. So on a whim, I auditioned for the choir. That was in December. And by March, I had moved to Princeton, New Jersey, and became a full-time boarder to sing in the choir for 3 years. And I got to travel all over the world. We rehearsed every day for hours and hours. It's a very unique place, especially in this country, and sang with some of the greatest orchestras in the world, sang some of the greatest music in the world, and really had an incredible musical education before I even got to high school. And it set me on my musical journey to now be an organist and a choir director, and brought me to Shreveport to work at St. Mark's Cathedral.
Just briefly, maybe mention one or two highlights that you remember from your time
in
the choir.
Sure. One of my earliest concerts with the top choir was right after September 11th, and Kurt Mazur called the choir to come sing Brahms' Requiem with the New York Philharmonic just days after September 11th, and this was put together as their memorial. Right. And we sang, if I recall correctly, we sang with Westminster Choir College and the New York Philharmonic, and the energy and the feeling in that room, which is always created by that piece, the Brahms' Requiem, just being an incredible piece of music, but the situation, and I recall at the end of that concert, the audience stood and no one clapped, and we all just stood in really stunned silence, and it was truly both a musical highlight of my life and just an emotional moment that's going to be going to stay with me for my whole life.
Joining us via telephone is Fernando Malvar Ruiz, who is the music director of the American Boy Choir. Maestro, thanks for joining us this morning. Talk to me. I know the choir's in its, 75th year, right? Three quarters of a century.
I'm going to get the math right. It's 78 years.
78 years.
Yeah, it started in 1937.
So that's a long history for a performing arts organization, certainly in our country, and also for a choral organization. I mean, there are a few that come to mind, like Handel Haydn Society, that type of thing. So why don't you talk a little bit about what makes a boy choir so special?
Well, the first thing is that the tradition of boys singing alone and as part of a choir goes back 1,000 years. And it started with a very restrictive rule from the Catholic Church, which said that only males could participate in sacred services. So that's where the tradition of boys singing treble started. How is that relevant nowadays? Well, the sound of a boy choir is very unique. Because of physiology, they produce just a very different sound when they sing as part of a choir, and it's something that has to be experienced. When you hear it, there is almost an instant appeal of the sound. Also, there is repertoire written specifically for choirs of boys. And so it is a wonderful tradition. It's a long, long-standing tradition, and one that we are proud to carry on.
The boy choir, the American boy choir, isn't just a performing ensemble. There's a school and a residency that's involved with being a member.
The American boy choir's residency is the American boy choir school.
Mm-hmm.
And the one essential distinction that has to be made is that everybody knows, well, everybody, whoever knows about the American boy choir, they think that is... standing alone, that the choir is the reason for our institution to exist, where the real reason for institution to exist is education. We are here to build this boy's character, and the choir is just one more tool to achieve that goal. It's a very powerful tool. A professional tool in choir teaches so many things, but it's not the end of all. It's actually a means to an end.
How does one enroll if a parent has a talented young vocalist? What's involved with auditioning or applying?
I'm very glad you asked that question. The process is very simple. The only requirement is that the boy loves to sing. If there is a boy that loves to sing, we would love to hear him. Chances are that he will be able to pass the audition, because the audition itself is quite simple. I play a few notes on the piano and I have the boy sing them back. And that's it. We're not looking for Mozart. We're just looking for boys that love to sing. How we do that is after the concerts. We're going to be obviously in your area. We give a concert, and I ask for boys in the audience to come sing for me. But now with technology, it can also happen online. So mm-hmm. You can go to our website, and there's a set of instructions that will tell you how to do an MP3 or how to send a video. And more than anything, it's a process, it's a very simple process to go to the next step, where we invite the boy to come visit the school.
You said you had one of your choristers there.
Yes.
Maybe I should talk with him a little bit, if you could introduce me to him.
Absolutely. His name is Dante Soriano. He is in seventh grade.
Hello.
Hello, Dante. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. How long have you been a member of the boy choir?
This is my fourth year in the American Boy Choir School.
Okay, and where are you originally from?
I'm from a small town in New Jersey called Hillsboro. It's kind of 30 minutes away from Princeton, about.
You know, you're closer than maybe someone coming from further away, but you still live there in dormitories at the school?
I actually don't. I go home every single day because I'm a day boy, but I occasionally stay for different clubs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what's a typical day for you like?
Well, for the day boys, we get to the school at 8:30, but for the boarders, they eat breakfast at 7:45.
Okay.
So the actual academic day starts at 8:30. Mm-hmm. And on a usual day, we'd go to classes and have a bunch of classes until 12, until 11:20, which is when we have rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And then after rehearsal, we have lunch. Then we have more classes until 3:00. Then we have an hour of called a rest period, which is basically where we lay in our dormitories and we sleep for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 4:00, we have either theory or PE or rehearsal.
Okay, so theory. So you're talking about musical theory.
Yes.
You've been for 4 years, so you've gotten to perform in some pretty incredible places. I know you just recently performed with the Philadelphia Orchestra, the choir. So you're performing with the top musical ensembles in this country. Maybe you can talk about one or two of the most memorable performances that you've been involved in.
I really like the St. Matthew's Passion, because that was one of the first orchestra performances I ever like performed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really cool experience. And to get to perform it again was really cool. And to experience, you know, the same orchestra and all other things, really nostalgic. And
well, congratulations to you. Well, Dante, it's great speaking with you. Could you put the maestro back on?
All right.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, what a very well-spoken young man.
Yeah, well, you see, again, you know, once you start interacting with our choristers, you realize what the true mission of the school is, because they are mature beyond their ages, and it's because of all the experiences they they have.
So I want to thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Chris, back to you. If you would just once again mention the times, both for the Eucharist and also the evening song, and maybe explain a little bit what the even song is.
Sure. Eucharist is at 10:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. on Sunday, April 19th, and even song is at 6 p.m. Even song is sung evening prayer. It's one of the two office services that the Episcopal Church observes. And evening prayer has readings, has prayers for ourselves and for the world. And it can range from being a quiet service with two or three people, or it can be a sung service like we'll have on the 19th with 50 or 60 singers and mm-hmm. hopefully hundreds in the congregation, a really glorious musical service. It's called the gem of the Anglican tradition because of its great history in England with boys' choirs and with young people and adults singing and singing the great body of Anglican literature that is associated with it.
All right. Christopher Lynch, the assistant organist, newly hired assistant organist, if I may say so, at St. Mark's Episcopal Church. And more information about this is also available on our website at redriverradio.org. And if you're with an organization and you have an event coming up and you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, please get in touch with us at 800-552-8502. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.